In the name of God, who creates us, redeems us, and inspires us. Amen. Jean Vanier, who was the founder of the L'Arche communities throughout the world, died recently. The L'Arche communities provide homes and workplaces where people with and without intellectual disabilities live and work together as peers. They create inclusive communities of faith and friendship, and they help transform society through relationships that cross social boundaries. I read an article about him in the last issue of Christian Century. It was said of Vanier that whenever he entered a room, it was buzzing with grace, as if the air was buoyed in warmth. He was a gentle giant with a broad, steady smile that was ready for all people he encountered. Vanier had learned about the possibilities of intentional community in New York in the 1940s, and when he returned to France, he encountered men with intellectual disabilities living in an institution which treated them like refuse. So in 1964, he took three men out of that institution to come and live with him in a house in Trolley-Bayou. And so the first L'Arche community was begun. And L'Arche is French for the Ark, as in Noah's Ark. The community quickly grew, and more family-like homes were started, and eventually those kind of communities arose around the world in the context of many cultures. And these communities believe that all of us, regardless of our circumstances, can make a contribution to the world. People see in L'Arche a seed of hope, not only for people with disabilities, but a new way of being in relationship with others, a new way of ordering our lives together. And many of us know about the L'Arche communities through the writings of author and theologian Henry Nouwen, who met Vanier at Harvard. Vanier invited Nouwen to spend time with the people in France, and eventually it led to Nouwen to become the pastor of the L'Arche Daybreak in Toronto. And this community has grown through invitations like these because people sense God in the rhythms of slowness and gentleness, and in the dismantling of violence and self-protection. Vanier said that the heart of L'Arche is to rejoice and to celebrate unity. We would like to be little signs of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love. Vanier made us aware that we could be transformed by the gentleness and power of love. And John of Revelation said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven." Our reading today is from the Revelation to John and is part of the larger vision of God's triumph over evil. It speaks of a new heaven and a new earth with the first heaven and first earth passing away. It says that the sea, which represents chaos and separation from God and each other, will be no more. Then John says that he saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And he hears a voice from the throne saying that God's home is among people, and God will dwell with them and be their God, and will wipe away all tears. Death will be no more. Neither crying, nor pain, nor mourning. All these first things will pass away, and all things will be made new. I love the imagery in this particular passage, and we might take note of a few things about it. The vision that John saw of a new heaven and a new earth, and the holy city, the new Jerusalem, well, he saw new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It meets us right here on the earth, and we don't have to go up there anywhere. Many people see heaven as a place far in the future, a kind of pie-in-the-sky place where we are just waiting out life on this earth to pass by, so we can get to some other place. They often see this world as a place of reward and punishment. But Jesus talked more about how we should all live on earth now, following his way, his truth, and life of love, than he did about us earning our way and getting to heaven later. And remember that when Jesus healed people, he healed them for this world now, in the here and now. He came to heal all of us and all creation, letting us go through this first heaven and first earth, because at some point, we will be in the new heaven and new earth, in the new holy city, and will be the people that God ultimately calls us to be. And all of the first stuff will be gone, replaced by this new holy city. And we should note in this passage not only the holy city's downward movement to us here, but it's also the place where all humans live together interdependently as one city, which is God's promise to all of God's people, because it will be the city of all of us. So this world, our own city or cities, will be made new. God's good intention indeed encompasses all of creation. And this passage also tells us that God's real home is among all of us, not in some distant place up there. It tells us that God himself will be with us, that all tears will be wiped away. And that image of God wiping away tears is so personal to me. And I also love the fact that God accompanies us and lives among us. The other cool thing about this passage and the whole book of Revelation is that, along with the book of Genesis, which begins the Bible, these two books are sort of the bookends of the story of God and God's people. The Bible begins with creation, when God breathes calm and life into the chaos, and then in the garden, and God calls it all good. Now, there are a lot of stories in between, some good and some not so good. But at the end, it ends in a holy city where there will be no more chaos and pain, and a new story begins, the story of complete restoration. And I think that Revelation could really be the penultimate chapter, because something new in the story of God and God's people will begin again. It's a story that really has no end. I believe that God passionately wants the healing of all creation, and we can trust this, that God will create a new heaven and a new earth, even though at times we have a hard time noticing it. This passage is often read at funerals, and it does give comfort at times when we lose our loved ones from this world, and it holds the promise of us all being together fully healed later somehow. And I think it's also meant to be a clearer lens for us to see the signs of a new heaven and a new earth right now and to work toward them, to help us realize that we don't live this life without hope, but that we live this life with hope because heaven is here and now, even if it's not already completely realized. Heaven and earth have an open door between them in our present times. And this passage from Revelation looks far beyond our human history and speaks to the all-inclusive vision of God's kingdom, the peaceable kingdom where all is transformed. So Jesus says, "Follow me now. Try to get over the things that divide us, the things that separate us from God and each other, the things that destroy rather than restore. Don't wait," he says, "because the kingdom on this earth needs you now, not later. The kingdom will be realized when all contribute to its welfare, and it becomes a welcoming place where all people can come home to God after often long and confusing journeys." Mother Teresa once said, "Be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies." So I think this season of Easter, is a perfect time to hear this passage, because this passage sings out, shouts out resurrection. And we desperately need to hear this story because of the many competing stories we hear each and every day. We know all too well about tears and pain and crying and mourning. And we know all too well about disruptions in our hopes for resurrection and restoration. We assume that the beginning, the creation, the Alpha, was good. And we mostly agree that the conclusion will be good, the new heaven and the new earth, the Omega. But in between, oh my. So we are invited to participate right now in what someone called God's Resurrection Project. N.T. Wright put it this way: the age to come has been inaugurated, but the present age still continues, and we live between resurrection and resurrection, that of Jesus and that of ourselves. So each time we cross the boundaries of things that divide us, practice forgiveness, help those who are in need, realize our interconnectedness, welcome those who are so different from us, love each other as God loves us. Each time we participate in things like this that help St. Paul's do its ministry and mission in the world, we are part of God's resurrection project. And it's so cool that we get to do that. We are given the word of life to guide us in making things better for each other while we're here now. And that word, of course, is love. St. Francis says, "You begin by loving, and you go on loving, and loving teaches you how to love. And the more you love, the more you are able to love." We are also invited to see the signs of the new heaven and the new earth in all places in our world. Evangelical theologian Richard Mao says, he thinks we're getting ready for an eternal gentleness where we will be more Christ-like, but we need to cultivate humility and civility so that we don't bear false witness to each other and deny their being made in the image of God, just like us. We do get glimpses that help give us strength and hope and keep us aware that something new lies ahead, even in the darkest of times. And we're invited to see our city, and yes, all of our places, as God's own holy city. If we can see the world through the eyes of John's vision and see that our own lives are illumined within a story that we both read and inhabit, the one story that's authored by God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, then we can engage in this life with hope and purpose and with grace and love, just like Van Yi and Nouwen and many others have done. The center of our story is Jesus, and God sent Jesus so that we would know that all will be well, because we cannot do any of this stuff totally on our own. We need God, we need Jesus, and we need each other. We need transformation and healing, and our world needs it, and we're invited to do our part. Jesus has given us a new commandment, that we love one another. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and to the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Amen.